we left off the previous year, we started talking about almost a very, very limited topic, and then we began to branch out to a really a Kol Terakula type of a topic. The limited topic was, the Gemara had a drasha on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph to try to explain, how do you know, how do you interpret the words v'shilach, and how do you interpret the words ubiya? So the word v'shilach refers to the nezek of regal, the animal that tramples. The word ubiya refers to the mazik of shein, the animal that eats. The Gemara says that the connotation of the word ubiyah may have had that it's something that's completely consumed, completely destroyed. Whereas the word v'shilach doesn't mean that. The word v'shilach just means trampled on it, whether it's partially consumed, partially destroyed, completely destroyed, does make a difference. So how do you know which direction to go? Everybody agrees that the two are the same. Everyone agrees there's a hekesh, there's a comparison between the two. The question is, which standards are you using? Are you insisting that you're going to be chayv under all circumstances, whether it was literally ubiyah or not? Is the model going to be v'shilach? Or do I turn around and say, no, the model is going to be ubiyah, and therefore you would never ever be chayav. The hekesh would teach you, you would never be chayav unless it's completely destroyed. So which direction do you go? So the Gemara opts in the direction of, in a sense, l'chumra. The Gemara opts in the direction of saying that you have to pay more likely than you don't have to pay. And the question is why? How did Chazal figure that out, that we go in the direction of being machmir? So we had a big machlekes in Rishonim. So Tosfos plugged in the rule of L'chumra l'kul l'chumra makshin. Tosfos said, this is part of a general question. Whenever we have a hekesh anywhere in Shas, and we're not quite sure which direction to go in, so Tosfos says you always go in the direction of l'chumra. And this is called the chumra. I did imamunus. Rabbi Tam says, no, this is also, this is called the chumra. Make the person pay money. That's called the chumra, even though it's the imamunus. And other Rishonim veered away from this. Other Rishonim came up with other reasons. They're almost tangential reasons. Why Chazal thought this particular case is L'chumra, maybe because of Meita, of other reasons. And going down Tosfos' route was not accepted by Rabbi Yishai, but Rashi, Brother Rishonim, didn't go down that route of L'chumra Makshin. So we quoted from Yosef Engel, who presented that this question, whether L'chumra L'kul L'chumra Makshin is applicable to the Mamanus, is really a very global question. It could touch on many, many sugyas. What is the nature of is it b'toras suffik? We don't know what to do, and therefore we're machmer misuffik. Or is it b'toras vada? That's the way hekesh works. That's one of the rules, one of the details, one of the parameters of hekesh. It always goes l'chumra. And afkamina, dina mamunus. If you hold this based on just a suffik, l'chumra, suffik derais l'chumra, then it would be absurd to apply it in dina mamunus. If it's based on a vados, it's absolute certainty. That is the midah of the benetam, so midah b'hekesh. That is the way hekeshes work, is they always go l'chumra, then one could argue it may work even by dina mamunus. So we began to test this theory of Rabbi Yosef Engel. What is this l'chumra makshina b'toras suffik b'toras v'adai? And we began to analyze the Gemara that appears in Kedushin of Samach Beis. The Gemara had told us, we think quickly again in the ninth in the Mamakomos. The Gemara says, Geretzach Shloshim by time and Mishma Ksiv Bekedin. That Geirus requires three Dayanim. That's a Dinmin HaTorah, and it's derived from the fact that the Torah uses the word Mishpat in the context of Geirus. Mishpat always conjures up the image of Din, and Din HaMamonos always means three, Din HaMamonos for Shlosha. Therefore, we derive from here a Dinmin HaTorah that a Geirus has to be done in the presence of three Dayanim. So we showed him a quick question. It's not always true. Not all Mishpat requires three Dayanim. So that's what we began to reference at the very end of the Shiur on Wednesday. The Gemara at the beginning of Masechah Sanhedrin quotes the following Machlokes. When it comes to the area of Allah of Gezelos v'chavalos, people beating people up, people stealing things, the area we call in secular torts. So torts, Gezelos v'chavalos for sure requires three dayanim. The Gemara derives that from a series of psukim in Parshas Mishpatim. Whether or not that requirement of three dayanim carries over to hodos v'alvos, to contracts, to buying and selling, those kinds of lending money, etc., those kinds of things, that's a machlokes in the Gemara. Now, everybody agrees that Lamaisa, we're going to want three dayanim, dinim mamonos b'shlosha, but according to one opinion, that's only a chumra midraban. According to one opinion, that's just an eitz hatov. We should have three dayanim, we get a better chance at having an honest outcome to the case. But me'ikam ikra din, one dayan would really be good enough. So that's a machlokes. One opinion says, all dinim mamonos b'shlosha, and one dayan says, no, only some dinim mamonos are really truly b'shloshim in the Torah. So now with that background, so comes Tosus in the 10th of the Ramakamah. Tosus in Kedushin raises this question. Vim Tomer. Mishum Kabbalah's mitzvahs, even in the realm of Gevurah of Kabbalah's mitzvahs, that Tosus just told us requires three dayanim, amai b'u yinan shloshim. Why do we need three dayanim for Gevurah? V'arei hodos v'halvos t'chsi ben mishpat. Hodos v'avos, cases of contracts, cases of buying and selling, cases of loans, are just as mishpat as gzelos v'chavalos. V'afilu hachi aminim esarhedrin, the don afilu yichidi. And the Gemara quotes at least one opinion. Not everybody, but one opinion the Gemara maintains that one dayan is good enough. So how in the world did Chazal know that the mishpat echsib begeiros, that magic word mishpat that says begeiros, how do you know that that's comparable to the mishpat of gezelos v'chavolos of three? Maybe it's comparable to the mishpat of odos v'avos that suffices to one. So comes Tosus v'yeshloma and gives the following answer. That it is more appropriate, it is more correct to compare geirus to gezelos v'chavolos. Why? Because you have to rule gezelos v'chavolos always require three. Listen to the reason Tosus gives. Tosus plugs in this rule and says, well, I have a hekesh. The hekesh is, the comparison is geirus and mishpat. Remember we mentioned on Wednesday, whenever there are two dinim that appear in the same pasuk, so that's a potential hekesh in the making. So I have the word geirus, lager, it says mishpat echad yelechem lager goyitchem, so I have a comparison between the word mishpat and the word geirus. But I have two different ways of going down that hekesh. I can either compare geirus to the mishpat of three, or I can, equally logical, compare geirus to the mishpat of one. How do I know which way to go? So I'm standing in front of two different paths. I don't know which route to go down. Comes Tosfos and said, it must be what prompted Chazal to go down the route of lechumra, to insist on three. It must have been an application of this principle, lechumra, lekula, lechumra, makshina. So ad kan devir Tosfos. So let's begin to think through this Tosfos. We need to analyze this Tosfos. What are the ramifications of what Tosfos just said? So when Tosfos told us, you require three tayyarim for geiros, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. And what would happen if you did a geirus in front of one? What would that halacha say? You had a non-Jew, did a geirus in front of one person, did a geirus in front of two people, just short of three people. What do you think about that geirus? So Rabbi Yechonin screams at us, Geirzah, Shloisha, Bishmak Sive, he's not Jewish, the Choldover, forget it. He's not Jewish at all. Really? He's not Jewish at all? According to what Tosfos just said, that the only reason that convinced us to require three and not to suffice with one is because we threw up our hands and says, L'chum l'ku l'chum makshinan. Let's now go back to Rabbi Yosef Engel's Chakir. If you hold that l'chum l'ku l'chum makshinan is only b'teres suffik, if you hold like that possibility that we don't really know that we're supposed to go l'chumra, we think we may have to go l'chumra, so when we just paskin on this fellow, we said, you're not Jewish, the Choladeya. Wait a second, not so sure you're not Jewish. We're not sure you're Jewish. So again, we're not going to have you be the Baal Kari for Bashar Zohar, or for anything else for that matter. You're not going to be the Baal Tekeya. We're not going to let you get married. We're not going to treat you as a Jew. We're not going to carry for a minion, because we threw our hands up and say, you're a Suffolk Yisrael. So we don't really know what to do with you, because again, the reason why we have a Suffolk emanates from, because we weren't quite sure which direction to make the Shekish in. But if l'chumra makshinan is only b'teres suffek, can we say with a straight face that this person is an absolute, complete non-Jew? Not really. We say misuffek he's a non-Jew, because maybe the geirus was not done with the proper standards of Beis Din. On the other hand, maybe the fellow is a Jew, because maybe the geirus was done with the proper standards of Beis Din. So this can open up a whole world. So when we put a stamp on his passport, I mean, what, Jewish or not Jewish? Suffolk, questionable. Tzorchian, whether he's Jewish or not Jewish. Now,
it's also Suffolk, but it's a Chumra.
Oh, very good, excellent. So that status of Suffolk Geirus is not the best status for a person to be in, and that could lead to some very, very real complications down the line. So how would you possibly get the following shaila? Here you have a non-Jew. He came and he converted in front of a quote-unquote of a basin of one diet. So he converted according to the standards, so to speak, of Hodos Valvos, but didn't quite go the standards of Gzelos V'chavolos. So we are sitting around trying to paskin a shan of his geirus, and we throw our hands up and we say, we have no idea what to do with this fellow. We can't treat him as being Jewish. 10 years later, he's Mekadosh and Isha. And now we want to know, does that woman require a get or not? So wait a second. If our whole paskinning that he's not Jewish was all based on Suffolk, so then here we would have to turn around and say, Suffolk L'chumra. We would have to say that we can't let her get away without a get. Maybe he was a Yisrael. Now, that doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. When the Gemara says, Geretzach Shlosha, it sounds like if he doesn't have a basin of three, he is not Jewish. We don't put a question mark on his Tudat Zehut. We say, he is just not Jewish. L'chol Dov, Bein L'kula, Bein L'chumra, he is just not Jewish. So from the fact that Tosfos told us that the engine that's driving the requirement for three Dayanim is that engine of L'chumra Makshinan, it would appear from Tosfos that this Tosfos understood that L'chumra Makshinan is not a suffix. L'chumra Makshinan is a vaday. L'chumra Makshinan means we say with absolute conviction, with certainty, that any latest of suffix whatsoever, this person's gerus was null and void. Why? Because it wasn't done by the standards of a Beis Din. What do you mean, but it was done by the lowest standards of a Beis Din? That doesn't interest me. And therefore the halacha of Teres Vada requires the higher standards of Beis Din. So it would appear that this Tosfos is tucked away in Kiddushin, and that's the Beis of a Beis, is l'shitosam b'vakamah of Gilam and Aleph. The same way the Rabbi Natam said in b'vakamah that l'chumah makshinan can work indeed a mominis, so too Tosfos said l'chumah makshinan can work in uchas geirus. When you apply l'chumah in these kinds of areas that open themselves up for multiple chumras and multiple kulas, and you still say L'chumra Makshinan, that's indicative of the fact that you're not looking at L'chumra Makshinan as a mere suffix. You're really, truly convinced that L'chumra Makshinan works with certainty, with 100% certainty, and therefore it's applicable in Mamanis, as Tosfos says in Avgimel, and it's applicable in Geirus, as Tosfos says in Kedushin of Samach Beis. You know, it's funny, because sometimes when you're looking for a strange nafkamina, we're trying to figure out, is this guy a Vada Jew, a Suffolk Jew, a Suffolk Goy, a Vada? So very often you have to run to Kedushin. You have to say, well, Kedushin is always a great mesechta to show a nafkamina. You can always figure out a case. Someone was Makadosh Shanisha, you know, how does that play out in terms of Kedushin? So they say a joke that sometimes Yeshiva Bacha says, it's Kavalik Ishtichot Tayyum, and Echakirei. So the person asks him, so my nafkamina? So he says, a nafkamina for Kedushin. It's not a beautiful condition. If you're Mekadosh and Isha on the condition that Meshtichot Torah is right, the Shem Mekadosh Sanat. That's about the extent of that. So it is a little bit more real than that. So if we are correct in our analysis that this Tosfos and Kedushin is going in a certain mindset in sync with the Tosfos in Maseches Bava Kamma of Gimel, then we could perhaps take the sugya to the next level. Just as in Bava Kamma we saw there are Rishonim who disagreed with Tosfos. There are Rishonim who refused to go down the route of L'chumra Makshinan as a Teretz V'adai. We saw, for example, we saw that Rabbeinu Yishai was quoted in the Shidduch Gemetzes, who posed the same question as Tosfos. Yechayev on Shein, even if it's not totally destroyed, maybe we should flip it around, maybe learn the Hekesh the other way around. So Rabbeinu Yishai said, no. Nezikin is not an area that we tend to be lenient on, and prove positive, Hilchos Meitav. But the fact that the Torah throws at you the Chumrah, that unlike all other Tashlumin in the Torah, Mazik has to pay from the best of his property, that's indicative that the Torah wants us to go in the direction of Chumrah and Hilchos Nezikin. From the fact that Ben Yishai had to bend over backwards and dig out Meitav from his back pocket as indicative that Nezikin tends to be Machmir, that indicates that Rabbi Yishai did not want to go down the route of Tosfos. Rabbi Yishai knew very well what Tosfos said, and Rabbi Yishai could have easily have said, L'chum makshinan, don't ask many kashas. No, that would not be true. Why wouldn't that be true? So it's quite possible that Rabbi Yishai understood that L'chum makshinan is not a B'torah Sofek, and B'torah Sofek, it wouldn't have worked in Hilchos Mazikin, and therefore Ben Yishai had to pull out something out of his back pocket. And similarly, the Rashi also pulled something out of his back pocket. The Rashi said that if you're going to tell me that ubir means complete and total destruction, so then you're going to have to extrapolate from there to regular. You have to say that vishilach, that animals are only obligated, only have to pay if they trample and totally completely destroy. So the Rashba said that's a joke. He said when animals trample, they don't completely destroy. It just doesn't happen. That wouldn't be vishilach. So you basically threw vishilach out the window. So the Rashba also, because of tangential concerns, ended up to the same conclusion as the Gemara. Everyone has to come to the same conclusion as the Gemara, but they didn't go down the route of Tosfos. So we mentioned on Wednesday that the fact that the other Rishonim are searching, they're fishing, they're looking for other external reasons why we're going to go in the direction of Chumrah here, and nobody else, none of the other Rishonim said Tosfos Pshat, it's probably they disagreed with the Rabbeinu Tam, they disagreed with Tosfos, and they held that maybe the Chumrah Makshin is only a Sofek. If that's the case, if we're correct that there are Rishonim, Baba Kam and Arsugya, that do not accept Tosfos' theory, then they can't accept Tosfos' theory in Kiddushin either. And then they're faced with the same challenge with Tosfos. How do you know that you need three Dayanim for Geirus? maybe one dayan is good enough. And don't hide behind the chumah makshina that's just not going to make it in hilchos geirus. There has to be something else going on. Why is it that you need three dayanim in hilchos geirus? What happened to one dayan in hilchos geirus? So there are some rishonim in Maseches Kedushin who search for other sources, hide behind other possible makaris, other possible sources that Chazal knew to opt for three rather than one. But there is a fascinating opinion in the rishonim that appears in the Mordechai and Maseches Yevamos on the 11th of the Maramakomos that was so bothered with this kasha. You could see how these rishonim were so bothered with this kasha. Why do you need three dayanim? Why isn't one enough? And they didn't want to go down the route of Tosfos. They didn't want to say, well, L'chum Makshin is going to work, because L'chum Makshin falls short in Geirus. So comes the Mordechai and quotes the following phenomenal chiddush from one of the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Yehuda Rabbi Yomtov Pirush. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbeinu Yomtov was one of the Balei Tosfos. If I'm not mistaken, I think there was definitely one of the Balei Tosfos. Then Rabbeinu Yomtov was the Rav in the city of York, the old York in England. And he was the same one, at the time of the Crusades, the time of the great massacre in York. In the Middle Ages, the entire Jewish community was decimated in York. There were actually kinos. Some people say the kinos for the kedoshim of York. I remember when I was younger, so we used to always say that kinos at the end. So I think before some of the Holocaust kinos had been written, so there was one kinos that was said for the kedosha York. And then when I got a little bit older, I never understood why in the world there were massacres throughout the Middle Ages. And then I realized that particular edition of the kinos had been printed in England. It was a famous Rabbi Rosenfeld had written the original English before art schools day. It was a Rabbi Rosenfeld from England, written the original English translation, because he was a rabbi in England. So it was close to home. So the Mavish, that was incorporated into the text of the Kinnas. So Rabbeinu Yomtov was the one of the Balei Tosfos who was the rabbi in New York. And I have a feeling this was his son, Rabbeinu Yehuda Rabbi Yomtov. I guess this Tosfos must have been said in English, in Old English. It must have sounded like Chaucer or something. They were arguing in English. So Rabbeinu Yehuda Rabbi Yomtov Pirish Alach Milsa. Rabbeinu Yehuda Rabbi Yomtov gave the following answer to this question. So unlike the Balei Tosfos of friends of Maseches Kedushin, Rabbeinu Yehuda Rabbi Yomtov gave the following answer. Alach Milsa. The Midaraisa Loba Inan Gimel Litvila. Says Rabbeinu Yehuda Rabbi Yomtov, the question is better than the answer. Yitaka don't need three. That min haTorah, you really don't need three for geirus. The midaraisa chadami kasher, and he says, and how do I know that midaraisa one a basin of one is good enough for geirus? Because after all, chadami kasher b'dinim mamrus k'diyam v'reish Sanhedrin. He said, boom. He said that exactly what Tosfos didn't want to say. The Gemara Sanhedrin says there are two equally valid models of beis din in dinim mamrus. There's the Beis Din of three, and there's the Beis Din of one. So Frektos Akasha, how come we need three? So Tosfos bending over backwards, why we need three? Says Rabbeinu Yehuda. The answer is, it's not going to only be three. The Gemara says, Getzo Shlosha. So the Gemara means that either Midrabban, you need three. It means Midrash, you need something. It's not a free-for-all. Midrash, you can't do Geirus by yourself, that's for sure. You need a Mishpat. But maybe on a level of the Reis, the standards of Mishpat are, in fact, one. But just as Midrabanan, they told you that Didimamas Bishlosha, you have to have three dayanim for all Didimamanas, so to Fageiris Midrabanan, they upped it up to three as well. But in the world, Deraisa, so maybe a Geiris in front of one dayan would be good. Again, in front of nobody, that's for sure no good, because Mishpik Sivbei, maybe one dayan would be sufficient. And Bechein Matzah Meir Bishar Ben Asim Chazal. And the Mordechai says that this was not only Rabbeinu Yehuda Rabbi Yomtov, but Rabbeinu Simcha, other Balei Tosfos also subscribed to the same idea. No, so the idea of Yochan Mumcha, that's a different part of the sugi. The Gemara talks about, there is a whole sugi there about Yochan Mumcha, but according to many Rishonim, Midarais, you don't even need that. That it could be even Midarais, just the head Yerachan may also be good. The Rambam holds Yochan Mumcha, it's a whole different story. So you see that these Rishonim were so bothered, were so pained with Tosfos Kasha, and they so didn't want to go down the root of Tosfos. What was, in a sense, wrong, quote-unquote, with the root of Tosfos? Not wrong, but just it was assuming something about the Chumash Makshina, which these Rishonim probably didn't want to assume. What was gained by this pshat of Rabbeinu Yehuda? I took it a little bit of snip, you know, of a Mordechai, a little bit out of context. What was the Rabbeinu Yehuda, Rabbi Yontif, what was Rabbeinu Simcha? What was the Mordechai trying to answer with the Shtichel Torah? So, one, they were addressing Tosfos' concern, what happened to 1 verses 3, but they were addressing something even more problematic. And this is a throwback that we spoke a little bit on the Wednesday night, those who are with us on the Wednesday night Shiurim. So we mentioned, there's a Gemara in Masechet Yevamos in the 4th parak, a very, very strange story. The Gemara tells a story about there was a certain person who had his mother, apparently had converted years before, and now there was a little bit of a question about a geirus. There was a pigfuk, there was a shaila, whether the geirus had been done properly or not. So when the shaila came to Rav Asi said, don't worry about it. Even if the geirus was done wrong, she's still the mother's still Jewish and the kid is still Jewish. Why? Because this woman, subsequent to her quote-unquote geirus, whether it was done properly or not, but subsequent to her geirus, was observant. She was Shomeres Torah Mitzvah. She had gotten married, and she was a young woman, and she was going to the mikveh every month. So the Gemara said, don't worry about it. Milo tovla l'nidusa. Just the fact that she's going to the mikveh for the purposes of Taras HaMishpacha, so that's good enough. So even though the Tevilas Geirus 20 years ago may have been in question, but the process of Geirus for a woman is really very simple. It's the same process, same going to the mikveh. So Milo tovla l'nidusa, so the Tevilas Nidus will cover as a Tevilas Geirus. So that Gemara is problematic on many, many different levels. Some raise the question of the Gemara, how does that work? Don't you need like Kavanah L'Shem Geirus at the time of the Geirus? How does the fact that you think you're Jewish and now you're doing it B'Toras Yisrael, B'Toras Taras Mishpach, how does that work? So that's a very important question in Geirus, but that's not really our topic. The part of the sugya that impacts on us is the question that all the Rishonim were bothered with, that we spoke a little bit about on Wednesday night, where's the Beis Din? What happened to the Beis Din? If Geirtzach Shlosha, you require a Beis Din for Geirus, so how in the world could the Gemara say that B'dieved, the Tevilas need is good, where was the Beis Din? So there are multiple answers to this question. So some of the more popular answers to this question involve Tosfos. The Baal Tosfos in Masechet Yevamos say that when we say Geirtzach Shlosha, you need a Beis Din for Geirus, which aspect of Geirus do you need a Beis Din for? So Tosfos says, for the Tevila, what do you need a Beis Din for Tevila? What Tevila is like going to the mikvah? We need 3 people to wash and go into the mikvah. Tosfos says, Beis Din is necessary for Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, the acceptance of mitzvahs, that's a whole other dimension of Geirus. That's a critical component of Geirus. So Tosfos writes, that makes sense to have a Beis Din. Why? Kabbalah's mitzvahs is a give and take. Kabbalah's mitzvahs is questions and answers. Kabbalah's mitzvahs, you need the authority, you need the expertise from a Beis Din to ask the right questions, to understand as the person looks at that. That's almost like Kabbalah's Eidos type of thing. That's like a Beis Din domain type of activity. Tevila, since when did you go to the mikveh? You're going to do Tevilas Kelim, we're going to Beis Din to watch Tevilas Kelim. Go to the mikveh and finish. So Tosfos writes that Geirtzach Shlosha was never chal on the Tevila. It was only chal on the Kabbalah's mitzvahs. So therefore, even if there was something problematic with this woman's original Tevila, it doesn't matter, because Me'ik Mikra Din, you don't really require Beis Din for the Tevila process anyway. So Milo Tavla Nidusa. Now Tosfos concedes that L'chadchila, you have to have a Beis Din present. The Gemara says Beferish, that the Gemara maps out the protocol of Geirus for us. And the Gemara says explicitly that the Beis Din is the Abishas Tevila. So Tosfos didn't mean to say that we're not going to do it. Tosfos just says that Midarais, that's not Ma'akev. And therefore, the story makes sense. That tells the solution to the problem. The Rambam seems to have a totally different read on that sugya. The Rambam interprets that Gemara entirely differently. The Rambam interprets the Gemara not that the Tefilas Nidus was the Geirus itself. The Rambam learns that from the fact that the woman is going to the mikveh every month, and from the fact that she's keeping kosher, and she's keeping Shabbos, and she's davening through it, from the fact that she's observing mitzvahs, that's indicative of the fact that there probably was an acceptable Geirus at one time. So we may not have the perfect documentation in front of us, but we're not using the Tefilas Nida as the Geirus, but rather it's the Raya that there probably was a Geirus at one time. But nowhere does the Gemara say you can get away with anything less than 3 Dayanim present, B'Shas HaTevila. So different Rishonim have different answers. On Wednesday night, we quoted the answer, one opinion tells us that the Yesh Mefarshim, that the fact that we know she's going to the mikveh, that's good enough. Eidus Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah. Whatever the Olam knows, that's as if they actually witnessed it. That was the relevance of the condition, Shalom, we were talking about on Wednesday night. But in addition to all these answers, Rabbeinu Yehuda, Rabbi Yontif, and Mordechai is giving another answer. And he's saying, the answer to the question is, there was a Beis Din there. Beis Din there. Where's the Beis Din? You don't need 3 Dayanim to be a Beis Din. All you need is 1 person to be a Beis Din, because Midaraisa Chana Mikosher, and Hodos Vavos is good enough, and Geirus is compared to Hodos Vavos, and Shomaisa, 1 Dayan is good enough, and of course there was 1 person there. That's what Rabbeinu Yehuda Rabbi Yontif says. So the Mordechai quotes this answer. I left out this part because it's not part of our sugi, but it's just it's the critical, you know, rebuttal of the morning. Right? What is that? Who was the one person watching the tefillah's nida? Obviously, it was a woman. It was the woman serving as a mikvah lady. So, hayitochein, that a woman is ksheira to be a dayan. Lo shemana doze meyolam. The Mishnah says that anyone who's possible to be an aide is kavachomer, by extension, possible to be a dayan. So, the Mishnah says, Masechah Shavuos, we derive from Pesuchim, v'yom d'shneha noshim v'lo noshim. Everybody agrees. Was there a question that women are psulos min haTorah to be aidim? Just because women are psulos to be aidim, that doesn't impact on the fact that we're not saying that we don't believe women. We're just saying that there are certain criteria that are necessary to be aidim. Let's say, Lamosha, if Moshe and Aaron would walk at the Beis Din together, we would also have to ask them to leave, because brothers can't be aidim either. So you can tell we don't trust them. We trust Moshe and Aaron also. And it doesn't matter. There are certain objective criteria that Torah sets up for us in terms of Hilchos Eidah. So the Pashas HaDvarim is that women don't meet those criteria. It doesn't impact on their knowledge, doesn't impact on their trustworthiness. That's the din. No worse than Moshe and Aaron. So comes the Mordechai and says, how in the world can anybody say that there's one dayan present? Who's the one dayan? The one dayan is a woman? That's for sure not going to work. So the answer to that most probably was that even though there is a Mishnah that says, well, if it's possible to be an aid, it's supposed to be a dayan, there is one opinion in Tosfos tucked away that says that that Mishnah may not mean exactly all that it sounds like. And Tosfos quotes one remote possibility that a woman may be shared to be a dayan. A woman cannot be an aid, that's out of the question, but there may be grounds to say that a woman may be shared to be a dayan. Now, I preface that comment by saying that that opinion has been absolutely categorically rejected by everybody. It was a das yachid of a das yachid. When Tosfos has the same Tosfos in a few places, only one place that even quote that opinion, another place they don't even bother quoting it. It didn't make it into Shulchan Aruch as a Yesh Omrim, as a Sniff, as a Nothing. So there's absolutely no question, Nimrim V'Gomru, that Halacha is like the simple reading of the Mishnah that a woman is psul to be a Dayan, and that's a Din in HaTorah. But, you have to be intellectually honest, there was one lone opinion in Rishonim out there. It doesn't impact practical Halacha in the slightest, but there was one lone sheet in Rishonim out there, and that was probably the sheet that Rabbi Yehuda subscribed to. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yontif had no qualm saying, you need one Dayan, that's all you need, no more. And the one dying may actually be able to be a woman, and that was the background of the story. So Rabbeinu Yehuda had two chidushim. Chidush number one is that he held one dying is good enough for Geirus, against most of the Rishonim. And number two, that one dying doesn't even have to be a man. So it's a very, very creative shot in order to explain that Gemara. But again, in practical halacha, it's not relevant, because all the other Rishonim, the Tazim, the Rashbam, all the other Rishonim had different understandings of that Gemara. So therefore, nobody else came to this conclusion. But what's important for us is we're not learning Geirus and Kedushim right now, we're learning Bavakaba, that the same machloikis that started in Bavakaba Daf Gimel between the Tazim and the other Rishonim, just how far the Chumah Makshinim goes, has now repeated itself in Hilchos Geirus. So believe it or not, the question or not, I guess you could say this, the question whether a woman could be shared to be a dayan, whether you go down in Rabbeinu Yehuda's pshat, is ultimately depends on Tosfos Bavakama Daf Gimel. Whatever you think L'chum Makshinim means, if you really truly believe L'chum Makshinim means B'Torah's Vaday, then you're able to give Tosfos and Kedushin's answer about the Geirus. If you don't accept that, and you think that L'chum Makshinim means something else, then you can't give Tosfos beer. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to go down in Rabbeinu Yehuda's beer, but then you're open for Rabbeinu Yehuda's pshat. If you go down the Rabbeinu Tam's pshat in Bavakama Daf Gimel, then the case is closed in Geirus and there's nothing to talk about and you don't have to go fishing for any other reasons. So again, just gives us a little bit of a picture that sugyas that superficially have nothing to do with each other. If I would tell you that the question of an animal eating something but not totally destroying it has any relevance or not, whether a woman can be a dayan or whether you need one or three dayan minuchos geirus, so I would say, Rabbi, you're mixing apples and oranges. But the answer is it's very, very much related, because the underlying feature all boils down to the same question as to how to understand that Rabbi Yosef Engel, those two sides in the Chakira, is the chumuk kul, the chumuk shibutar, is vader, is a butar, is suffix. So next week we'll begin in the next week.